In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, on the first Sunday of Great Lent, we celebrate what is called the Triumph of Orthodoxy. And how was this triumph accomplished? We celebrate a historical event, but like all historical events, they have a deeper spiritual meaning. The Scripture speaks of this spiritual meaning. The historical event is simple. Well, actually, it's very complex. The history of it's very complex. But simply put, there was a time when icons were abolished, and even people that used them in their worship were tortured and killed because of various heresies in the empire. Really, to a large extent, because of the effect of Islam on the outskirts of the empire and their iconoclastic views, which permeated into some Orthodox, unfortunately. And there was times of great persecution for long periods of time. Finally, the Empress Irene and her son Michael restored the worship of the icons. But even then, later on, there was another period of unrest and period of persecution. But eventually, the truth won out. The truth that we can depict our Lord Jesus Christ, because he became man, so we can depict him in an icon. We can't depict the Father, the Spirit. We don't know what they look like. They have no form, nor shape, nor image. But the Lord does, because he became man. So when we look upon our Lord Jesus Christ, we are seeing God and man, because he is God and man. And that's the fundamental message of icons. So that's the short form of the history of the restoration of icons. It's actually a very, very complex story. Like things in real life are, they're complex. But what are we celebrating in the deeper inner meaning of the feast? We've had icons around for over 1,000 years now. What we're celebrating is the triumph of orthodoxy in the heart of man. The triumph of good over evil. That a man can become good. That, as Nathanael asks, can any good come out of Nazareth? The church resoundingly says yes. Nazareth being our heart. Nazareth being the human condition. Yes, good can come out of Nazareth. And how do we know this? By faith. The beginning words of the epistle today. By faith. Moses. Samson. Samuel. David. All the rest. By faith. So what is faith? If we are to have a triumph of orthodoxy in our hearts, I suppose we have to know two things. One, what's this triumph that we're looking for? I mean, if you don't know what your goal is, I suppose, how are you going to reach it? And number two, what is faith that helps us to reach it? Well, every human being must recognize in themselves that they are imperfect, that they're broken, that they're incomplete, that they're diseased, that there's something wrong. It's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not what we were created for. We weren't created for brokenness. We weren't created to be diseased. We weren't created for weakness. We weren't created for the feelings that we sometimes, oftentimes have, that are ugly or that are painful. We weren't created for any of that. We were created to know God, to know him completely and intimately. And the reason we don't know him completely and intimately right now is because of our sins, our incompleteness, the disease that's within us. Now, if you do not feel incomplete, then I tell you, Christianity is not for you. You're not going to get anything out of it at all. nothing. You must feel incomplete. You must feel a need to be healed. You must have a yearning in your heart for God and recognize that of your own, you cannot get there. The trip is too long, too steep, too arduous, too dangerous. You cannot get there on your own. You must feel this in your heart. So, the goal that you must have, if you are to live your life and it is to mean anything whatsoever, is that you were born for greatness. You were born to know God intimately. And this should be your ardent desire. And you should recognize the things that are in the way of this desire. Yourself. No, it's not the world that's in the way. It's not the devil that's in the way. It's us. We sin. We are incomplete. Sometimes we sin knowingly, sometimes voluntarily, sometimes unknowingly, sometimes involuntarily. We just can't quite get it done on our own. You've got to feel this if you're a Christian. Every breath you take, you should feel that you were born for something that you are not yet. You've got to feel that. Or else, your life may be wasted. So a Christian must feel this incompleteness. And this desire to know God intimately. Now, the way to know God intimately is to become like Him. So to not yet be incomplete, because God is complete and whole and perfect and simple. So a Christian must be complete and whole and perfect and simple. To live according to the commandments, which can be summed up by one word, love. But acted on in many ways. Love manifests itself in many ways. But it is a simple thing because God is love. So if we are to know God, we must love. And how do we accomplish such a great task? Because every day we see that we fail. I hope you see every day that you fail. I hope that you say many times a day that you fail. Not so that you can be downcast and have a bad self-image, bad self-esteem. No. God wants you to have the correct kind of esteem. The correct knowledge of yourself. Not thinking that you're perfect and holy and complete as you are, but that you will be. That you were born to be. And how do we accomplish this? By faith. Faith is not just belief. Look at how St. Paul describes faith. He describes people who went through terrible things. Dark times. Difficult times. Escaping the edge of the sword. Stopping the mouths of lions. Being persecuted, destitute, ill-treated. So in other words, faith is how we live. It's not always how we think, although how you think definitely influences how you live. Should I say, it is how you think. It's not how you feel. You do what's right because it's right. According to every ounce of strength that you have within you, with God helping you, you do what's right. Whether you feel good or not, you do what's right. Because in doing what's right, you will become right. And you'll be able to know God. So faith is living in this way. Not according to our feelings, not according to our circumstances, but according to the goal. St. Paul says that They did all these things, not accepting deliverance. In other words, not giving in to the things that were persecuting them, the people that were persecuting them, not giving up so that they might obtain a better resurrection. This was before the Lord had come. Now the Lord has come and fills us with the Holy Spirit. And we also are trying to obtain, as it were, a better resurrection. That is, for the resurrection to manifest itself in us in a better way. And the apostle says, out of weakness they were made strong. So having faith doesn't mean you're strong. Having faith means out of your weakness you become strong. This is the triumph of orthodoxy. This is the time too, this period of Great Lent, to, as the apostle says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. It's a good description of Great Lent. And then he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author of our faith. He helps us to finish it. But he's not the doer of our faith. We are the doers of our faith. We must live according to this which we say we believe. Deep within you, you must feel a need for God. Deep within you, you must feel the imperfections in your soul and the hurt, the incompleteness. And simultaneously, while feeling this, as a Christian, you must believe that out of weakness you can be made strong, that you can obtain the resurrection, have the resurrection be manifested in you. All you need do is follow the direction of Philip. Come and see. Every day, every moment, when you're faced with a choice, good and bad, weak and strong, right and wrong, profitable, unprofitable, a waste of time, a good use of your time. You'll be faced with these choices 1,000 times today. 1,000 times. Every time. When you're making this choice, in your heart, should be this answer that Philip gave. Come and see. And your answer to it, yes, I will come and see. Every moment, everything you do matters. Because everything you do makes you better or worse. It's not an in-between. Obey Philip. Obey the Lord through the words of Philip. Come and see. Live by faith. It doesn't mean that tomorrow you're going to be holy, and that the sins that beset you now are suddenly going to go away and you're going to stop doing them. But if your attitude is that these are not right in you and that you want to change them, then yes, orthodoxy will triumph in your heart. So, every choice you make today, and tomorrow and the next day, you have to weigh which is better. And you have to have inside of you, in your mind, the goal of perfection. The goal of completion, of holiness, of knowing God intimately. Because every choice you make either brings you closer or further away from that goal. And if you live by faith, your desire will be to make the right choices. And with that desire will come God giving you strength. Not all the time. Because if you have things come too easily, then history shows that we fall away if things are too easy for us. It's all because of our foolish nature. We should be able to accept what God gives us and be happy. But for some reason we don't. So we have to learn the hard way. It is better to learn the hard way than not learn at all. Let's decide, each one of us, together, let's live by faith. Let's have a goal in our life. Let's have everything matter and everything be for Christ. Amen.